Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. We are following the life of Esau at the start of this week, and yesterday we learned that he was no innocent man. Esau despised his birthright, and therefore Esau despised God. Let's get back to our text in Genesis chapter 25. Remember, Esau's life is closely linked with double predestination. That's why we are here in Genesis 25 and other texts. In fact, insert a finger in your Bible at Hebrews chapter 12. That's Hebrews chapter 12, way over in the New Testament. I think we will get there today. But first, Genesis 25. The background is Esau, a skillful hunter, is where he is comfortable, and that naturally is out in the fields hunting. And a man can work up quite an appetite doing that, so he completes his activities and comes inside. And when he opens the flap to the tent, his senses are overwhelmed by the tasty aroma of a red lentil stew and fresh bread. His younger brother, barely, the two men are twins, has been cooking. Jacob is quite the chef. He was a peaceful man who preferred the tent to the outdoors. So Chef Jacob has the stew prepared, and here comes his very hungry brother. Now let me pick up the reading at Genesis chapter 25 and verse 30. Esau said to Jacob, "Please let me have a swallow of that red stuff there, for I am famished." Now verse 31. But Jacob said, "First, sell me your birthright." Esau said, "Behold, I am about to die, so of what use then is the birthright to me?" And Jacob said, "First, swear to me." So Esau swore to Jacob, and Esau sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went on his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Can't you just imagine Esau storming through the tent door, plopping down his gear and demanding a bowl of that red stuff there? He claims, "I am famished." We often say that as well, even though few of us are literally starving. We say this to mean we are very hungry. Jacob, perhaps in jest, throws out an offer to his slightly older brother. In today's parlance, "Bro, sell me your birthright and I'll give you this stew." Shockingly, Esau agrees. "Let's make that deal, brother." Well, this right there shows us what little Esau thought of his birthright. And in verse 32, the text allows us inside Esau's mind. Esau said, "Behold, I am about to die, so of what use, then, is the birthright to me?" The reasoning goes like this. I am the eldest, and so the birthright belongs to me, but if I die, the birthright will do me no good dead. And my old man, Isaac, probably will not die anytime soon, leaving the birthright to me as an inheritance. Besides, maybe Isaac will pass me over and give the birthright to Jacob. In any of these scenarios, it's useless to me, so I better get at least something out of it, such as this tasty meal. Esau fully embraces this attitude that we read about in Scripture. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we may die. Esau shows that he was unconcerned about the birthright. He cared more about hunting and satisfying his hunger with a good stew. Seeing how much Esau devalued the birthright, Jacob pounces. Verse 33, and Jacob said, "First, swear to me." So Esau swore to Jacob, and Esau sold his birthright to Jacob. The boys bind the contract with a formal oath. And this is a contract their father Isaac will not interfere with. It's done. Jacob gets the birthright, and Esau gets the soup. Remember, the birthright is important. And last time we talked about how part of the birthright did mean something to Esau. It entitled him to a double portion of the inheritance when Isaac died. Esau was no doubt interested in the estate, but Esau knows the birthright also means inheriting much responsibility, becoming head of the family. If Esau kept the birthright, then upon the death of Isaac, Esau will be spiritually and financially responsible for the whole family. In particular, within this family, the spiritual duties were significant. Esau is the grandson of Abraham, and Abraham was great. In Genesis chapter 18 and verses 18 and 19, the Lord said of Abraham, "Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. For I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." That was Genesis 18, 18 and 19. Esau knew this. He observed the weight of this responsibility on his dad, Isaac, Isaac being Abraham's son. And Esau wanted no part of the spiritual tasks and duties assigned to the man who has the birthright. Because Esau did not have the character of a man even worthy of and qualified for carrying on the calling which the Lord God had given to Abraham. Friends, Esau was an ungodly man. The Bible speaks directly to this in Hebrews chapter 12. I am reading the New Testament book of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15 and 16. "See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled, that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal." There you heard it. No immoral or godless person like Esau. The writer of Hebrews, concerned with the Jews and the church of his day being immoral and godless, uses the example of Esau to urge his readers to have no bitterness, to not cause trouble, and to not be defiled. Isn't that interesting? Hebrews goes all the way back to Genesis and the example of this ungodly man, Esau. If we want the picture of an immoral and godless person, the Bible says, look at Esau. Now that is a profound indictment of this man we are following through Scripture. The next verse, verse 17 of Hebrews 12, adds that Esau found no place for repentance. So in Esau, we have a man who was immoral and godless and found no place for repentance in his life. An example of this is the wives that Esau took when he married outside of the covenant people of Israel. Let me read just one text, Genesis 26, verses 34 and 35. "When Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Basemuth, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and they brought grief to Isaac and Rebekah." No wonder these marriages to pagan women brought grief to Esau's parents, Isaac and Rebekah. They reflect a total disregard for the sanctity of marriage between one man and one woman, and between one godly man and one godly woman. This is just another example of the waywardness of Esau and how much he was against God in his life. You see, God does not have to intervene in the life of Esau to plant unbelief, to plant sin, to plant evil in his heart, mind, and will. Esau already has unbelief, sin, and evil pouring out of his black heart, consuming his corrupt mind, and plunging his will into ruin. Esau is a sinner through and through. All God has to do is leave Esau to his sin. All God has to do is pass over Esau. Let him be. Give him over to the lusts of his heart. And that is what happens on the other side of predestination. On the positive side, God intervened in Jacob's life to grant him the gift of salvation. On the negative side, God did not intervene in Esau's life to grant him the gift of salvation. But God also did not intervene to give Esau sin and evil such that Esau will then reject God. God did not do that because, as we have said, that is not in keeping with who God is. Besides, Esau was already a sinner. Esau was already evil. Esau was already willingly hell-bound. And so God left him to himself and his iniquity. Now, remember last time I highlighted verse 30 of Genesis chapter 25. The text said, "Therefore Esau's name was called Edom." And last week I told you that Esau was the father of an entire nation of people. Well, starting tomorrow, I want to walk us through some of the Bible's description of the people who came from Esau, his descendants. They are called the Edomites, and believe me, they take on all the characteristics of their founding father, Esau. Let's continue to trace Esau and Edom. And we will do all of this using Esau as an illustration of what God does on the other side of double predestination. I hope this is making sense to you, and you will join us tomorrow, and you will do so because God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.